Okay, so you mentioned that it was an unplanned pregnancy. And I'm just wondering if you can talk a little about how it felt to learn that you were pregnant, like how that felt for you.
It was really a wild, 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 wild time. I remember being like, oh, this is what denial is like. Because I remember being in a restaurant and getting so dizzy all of a sudden and like, oh, I remember feeling like my body was different. Like, I remember feeling, like, what is happening to me, and then the first pregnancy test I took was negative. And I was like, well, of course. Because I think what I had done was switched from like a pill to the NuvaRing or something like that. This was all a little caused by, let's see, my doctor told me after, she was like, well, in the future, if you want to plan, you should only take 3 days of placebo. And I was like, if I want to plan, like I thought I was planning. And I weighed probably about like 215 pounds, and it was all birth control at that point. And I don't know, currently too, had been tested on women weighing like 125. So I was
Interesting.
like, they were like, well, yeah, and I was like, that could have been told to me when I started, I don't know. And in the NuvaRing is not like one that you can miss a dose of either. So I don't know if it was the chain. I don't know exact. I don't know exactly where the whatever gap in coverage was, or if there was one. Like, I don't know. Finding out I was pregnant when I took a pregnancy test again, I remember calling my boyfriend at work at the lab and being like, buddy, it's positive. Like, it's positive. And I took like three in a row. We went to the Safeway and bought Cool Ranch Doritos and more pregnancy tests. And I said, why don't they keep
Little
these? Why don't
testing
they keep
combo.
exactly? I was like, these should be in the same aisle. And I remember, we were not we were I was 26, he was 25. No, I was 27. And he was 26. And we had had a conversation early on in our marriage that, not in our marriage, in our relationship, that if there was an accidental pregnancy, we would probably, that we were both comfortable with seeking an abortion. But I remember this so clearly. We were driving back from Safeway to our apartment with the pregnancy test and the Doritos, and the song came on the radio, I won't hesitate, oh, life is short. And I remember being like, I'm gonna have a baby. Like, I remember being like, it's happening. Like, I remember all of a sudden feeling this rush of emotion, and like the panic subsided, and I was like, I think I'm gonna do this. And I remember I didn't tell Rich yet, and that I felt that way. I talked to my therapist and I was like, I'm pregnant. And she was like, yes, you are. Like, she's like, that's what's been bubbling. She was very like, this is San Francisco psychotherapy. It's a whole different ball game. She's like, I think we've felt this coming. Like, I think this is it. And I was like, I kind of think so too. And I was like, do I get married? Like, what do I do? And she was like, this is how families have been made forever and ever. Like, it's all gravy. Like, we were in a very yes and kind of mode. I remember I told my one friend I was pregnant, and she was like, I think it's congratulations, right? And I was like, yeah, I think so. And it was exciting. And then I remember I told Rich, I was like, so, bud, I know we have options here, but I'm thinking at some point we went to, because the real zinger was going into an OB appointment with my OB, who I didn't know. She was just my OB. And back then, I don't know what, I probably went for like a yearly pap smear and that's it. It's not like I had a relationship with her. Yeah. But we did an ultrasound and she was like, oh, she said, we're moving right along here. And that I was 12 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, holy shit. We saw a heartbeat that day, everything.
Wow. This is wow.
48 hours after finding out I was pregnant, right? And like I had missed like so much. You know, like I hadn't known. And then there was things like, you know, it had been 12 weeks during which I had been like drinking.
Right, right.
Continuing to be on birth control.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I wasn't, you know, we were in like, I was in like wifey fate. Like we weren't like partying, but I was having a glass of wine and, you know, on hormonal birth control. And I was terrified about that. All the OBs I saw were like, you're fine. They're like, it's not a thing. Like, it's just not a thing.
Wow.
And they were like, the drinking, like, even if it is a thing, nothing we can do now. Like, right. And also kind of interesting reassurance. They were like, FYI, there wasn't that long ago that we didn't know that alcohol affected a fetus. Like, sure. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember I had gone off coffee. I remember being like, oh, coffee gives me the like, bleh. And I had not had a taste for alcohol either. I was ordering sparkling waters and stuff like that.
I'm impressed. I feel like your body was really helping you out there.
No.
And that's specific to like things you really shouldn't be doing.
It was, I remember ordering this club soda and I remember finding out I was pregnant and being like, it's really weird that I was drinking club soda at a bar. Like, not only is that not characteristic of me in my 20s, it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, not having coffee, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This whole time, I was a drama therapist at an inpatient psychiatric unit. And there was a lot of, like, parenting and birth trauma around me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People with terrible PTSD from their childhoods, people who were not organized enough to prevent pregnancy and who were homeless and constantly pregnant and losing these children and, like, you know, just a lot of that around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, whoa. Like, it was a very interesting place to experience a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember telling Rich, listen, we knew that we were walking towards getting married. Like, when we moved in together, I was like, FYI, this is, like, we're talking about this as we're probably going to get married, right? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So I went to, I remember telling him that he didn't have to do it with me if he didn't want to, but that I would love to, if he wanted in, then I was down and I wanted to be, I remember I said engaged by Thanksgiving is what I would like. Like, I want to get married and have this
mm-hmm.
baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I remember that he's like, part of me feels like I can't really say anything else. Cause if this baby is like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I remember it wasn't easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been one to kind of like, he has a lot of trust in me and he just jumped in, you know?
Yeah.
And his friends were all like, if anyone was gonna like have a baby and settle down right now, it would be you. Like, you've been, it would be you. Like, it makes sense. His friends threw an awful accident baby themed baby shower. It was rude and wow. painful and bad.
Wow.
It turned out to be like my only baby shower. Well, I had one at work too, but you know, Charlie came before my friend's baby shower,
mm-hmm.
which would not have been so
literally themed,
literally rude. And like, yeah. And so, yeah, finding out I was pregnant and just being like, oh my God. And then it jumped pretty quick into, like, I remember telling my parents and my mom, who, you know, my parents are very conservative, and I was worried. Mm-hmm. I remember being a kid and them telling me having a baby without being married would be so sad. Like, it would be so sad.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, since then, they're like, why didn't you tell us right away? Because I waited, like, another 2 weeks or something to tell them. And I was like, why do you think? Like, oh, God. But my mom was the first grandchild on both sides. Everyone was extremely excited and happy. I think when Charlie was born is when my parents met my in-laws. They went to, like, a pirate night at a bar accidentally and had pirate night. And, you know, everyone was down. They did want us to get married before the baby came out, but I didn't want to do that. So we did not.
So help me with the timeline a little. So you, because I don't know when Charlie was born. So you okay. would have found out when? Like just a general sense of time of
year. So Charlie's born February. He was due March 26th. So I must have found out in the late summer.
So I'm just thinking about that idea that you'd be engaged by Thanksgiving. Was that a month away? Was that, you know, I guess it's less about the time and more like, was it a thing that you needed in place? Like, did you feel like you needed it in place to move forward, you know, feeling confident you were getting married? Or was it like, look, we have some time to figure this out. I need to know by this time kind of thing.
I think I wanted to be engaged before we went to family gatherings.
Oh, okay.
I think we both wanted to be married if we were going to, like, make a life.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's really funny. I remember when Rich told his, like, extended family, he was like, this is what's going on. They all email. It's really bizarre. But this was an email to, like, the family list.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, Lisa says there's got to be a ring on it by Thanksgiving. So, like, you know, here we go. And everyone was like, does that mean married or engaged or what? And da, da, da. And and I know I said by Thanksgiving, but I honestly can't tell you why, because I was pretty pregnant by then. And I held tight. I don't know if, like, I didn't know that until, like, third baby. I was, like, just fucking pregnant every place. But
well, each one gets a little bit, gets a little, bit harder to hold it in. Yeah.
But first baby at, like, 26, like, oh, my God, it was, like, bing, like, tight,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, wild. So, yeah, I think it was about heading into holidays and knowing we were going to see our whole family and me wanting to present a united front. It's kind of interesting. So because of the way everything happened, a couple things happened that might not have happened otherwise. I don't think we would have gotten married that quickly. I don't think that I would have changed my last name, which I did, but it felt very important to me. I remember being like, oh, I get it. Like, this baby is so obviously mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we give our babies the men's names so that they can claim them too. Like, I remember being like,
oh, interesting. Oh.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, yeah. I felt very strongly that I wanted to have this man's name on this baby because I needed him to feel a claim the way I felt.
Interesting. So for you, it was a sort of a sharing of parenting towards Rich.
Yeah.
By sharing that name.
Well, you know, we weren't married. My name was Lisa Britt. And
right.
When he came out and he hadn't been named yet, it was baby boy Britt. And I was like, that's not his name. I remember being like, this is baby boy Lusk. And they were like, we don't get to that, but right now it's baby boy Britt. And I remember feeling like, I later, also, I didn't want to be the only one without the family name too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he could have stayed baby boy Britt. Like, he could have.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
both could have. Like, yeah. It's, I always think it's interesting that babies, of course, have the husband. And I get it. I feel like I got it. I was like, we all have to have the same name. Or at least you two do, because everyone can see that you came out of me. Like, mm-hmm. you're still part of my body. Mm-hmm. There's no denying me. But you have to get claimed by this. It was, I remember being like, wow. There is generosity there and wanting to bring him in. But I think there was also, like, what happens to me if I shut him out or something? Like, there was, because it cemented our partnership. You know what I mean? I was like, mm-hmm. we're putting your, like, there was love there. And I remember feeling like this was, I think I said before, it was romantic. Rich, like, I wanted to be together and all three of us to be together. But there was all, I sometimes think I'm like, was there fear there too? Mm-hmm. That if I don't write this, if I write down baby boy Brit, what does that mean about me? Am mm-hmm. I all of a sudden an unwed mother with it? You know what I mean? Like, I had mm-hmm. my own messages around what that is. And blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. So I think there's both. But it is interesting to, like, you know, the Lusks have this, like, family heritage that's so different from mine. And, you know, my children are, like, Lusk children. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. kind of wild.
Interesting. So you've mentioned a couple of times about the marriage piece as makes yeah. sense. How big do you think that was for you at the time?
Not very.
That you were unmarried when you had your baby.
I remember I did not want to get married super pregnant. I didn't want it to be like, I'm getting married because I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be, I wanted our choice to have a baby and parent this baby together to be different than our choice to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I also wanted to get, I mean, we had a couple logistical, I needed insurance. We needed, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there was a couple logistical things going on there. And I was big into, like, I wanted the ritual of commitment to each
mm-hmm.
other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was big to me in terms of, like, relationally with Rich. And I think it was to him, too. We both have parents with, like, 50-year marriages now. You know what I mean? Like, we mm-hmm. kind of come from it, and so it felt natural. Both of our parents wanted us to get married very fast. They wanted us to get married, like, now and then throw a party later. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
I wanted, like, an honest ritual and gathering and celebration and blah, blah, blah. But I also remember being like, we're having a baby. That in itself is a commitment to be together in some capacity forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the wedding paled in comparison. And it's not like I was, like, gaily planning a wedding. I was breastfeeding at my dress fitting. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, and my dress came from, like, Nordstrom. It was, like, $200. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, we had a cheap wedding. Perfect wedding. Perfect wedding. But it was, like, in a garden around the corner from our apartment. And it was one of the most relaxed weddings I've ever been to in my entire life.
Nice.
And I remember it was that way because I felt like we had already, I was kind of like, we've already done it, people. This
yeah.
part is important too, to me. And it's important to mark it. That's what it was about. It was about marking it, you know? And like, but it's not, I feel like I got saved from whatever 26-year-old wedding kind of, you know what I mean? Kind
like
of
a Bridezilla nightmare.
Not that, I mean, I don't know.
I can't like, imagine you going that way. That
neither
that,
can I. That. And the thing is, my sister kind of did, not really, not like in a, you know, but she waited a long time to get married and she really wanted to be married. And I just remember her wedding was like, well, we have to have the first dance. We have to have this, like everything
yeah.
she'd been like wanting to have. And mine yeah. was like, I remember we didn't pick a song to dance to the first time. We had hired a band off of Craigslist and they started doing a cover of Ripple by the Grateful Dead, and we started dancing, and that was our first dance, and now it's like our song, even though it's like, what? Like, and, you know what I mean?
That is not what I would have imagined.
No. Can you believe it? That our first song is Grateful Dead? And I remember his, like, deadhead great aunt was like, yes. He was like, oh, and that was our song, which is just so funny, right? Like, the whole thing was so sweet and tender, and like, I remember really giving it up and being like, yep, like, we're having a wedding. My mother-in-law made my cake. She's English. It was a fruit cake. It was terrible. It was terrible, but it was all part of the, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a homegrown garden wedding. It was at the same time that Charlie was born. My Rich's cousin and her husband, who we were pretty close to, were going through simultaneous fertility treatments and adoption process. And they had found out that they had been on a short list as potential parents for a mom, a pregnant teenager. They ended up getting a call in the middle of the night being like, the baby's here. It's in the NICU. They picked you. Are you in? And they said yes.
Whoa.
So we have these, and they brought her, her birthday is May 1st. So Charlie's February 26th, February 24th, and this baby's May 1st. And they were both there at this wedding. And it was like these two surprise babies, you know?
Yes.
Babies out of nowhere. Just falling in your lap. And I remember at my practicum, someone was like, babies come when babies come. And I'm like, yep, I guess
so
they
true. Do. So how old was Charlie when you guys got married?
He was 6 months old. So we got married August 28th. I remember my mom like walked him down the, we didn't really have an aisle. We kind of entered from these two different like paths through the garden or whatever. And my mom and my mother-in-law kind of carried Charlie. And then Rich has one brother. I have one sister. They kind of were our, like, whatever, stood with us. And then Rich and I walked in ourselves, and we had this very bonkers California officiant.
So can we talk a little about how it felt to be pregnant in this environment that you've described at your work, right? Where you're surrounded by different experiences with that, right? Different approaches to it, different conceptions of it. How did that feel for you?
I mean, the nature of this population was that some people were very, very focused on my pregnancy, either wanting just to talk about it and be close to me. Someone I remember wanted to take my baby. They were like, I think I should take your baby. Like, it was like, they're like, I feel called to, you know, a little scary, but also I didn't feel, the only couple times I felt unsafe is when I had to do like, there was a couple times I had to do confrontation. Someone had stolen scissors from the art room or something, and I had to go find them. And I remember being like, can you come with me? You know,
cause I have this.
Cause I'm pregnant.
And they have scissors.
It's also, I remember at work, there was a huge Nigerian population of mental health workers and nurses at this hospital. Like, really quite large. And boy, did they love a baby coming. Like, I felt like there was just a, you know, because there was shame around pregnancy, both not knowing I was pregnant, both feeling like knocked up. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember feeling like, whoa, in my body, it felt like the changes happened so fast. So fast. But I also remember there was very much, like, at work, a culture of like, yay! And people would bring me plates of food. And like, I just got a lot of, like, you know, the staff at work was super just supportive and amazing. And then there were also clients. I remember this one guy was very focused on celibacy as like a part of his meditation practice. And he was just he was like talking about how celibacy is just so important. And I remember I was like out to here. And I was like, what's it like to you to talk like that, to tell this to a pregnant person? And he's like, He like just not,
not even registered.
He was very sweet. Actually, he told me, he was like, I just really hope later when I was leaving for my maternity leave, he was like, I hope that you bring an enlightened soul onto this planet. And like, you know, like, so sweet.
Yeah.
We named a cat after him. I can't tell you which one, I think, because of HIPAA. But yeah. Then I also remember, I mean, there was a lot around taking maternity leave, especially since some of the folks here were there before I left and there when I got back. Like, I was gone mm-hmm. for 6 months, and they were still institutionalized. There was a lot of, you know, I was working in therapeutic relationships with people. Mm-hmm. It was complicated coming back. I remember the first day I got back, I had to hand someone their notice. It was a black and white emailed picture of their child, and their parental rights had been terminated, and I had to hand it to her. Like, wow. Just wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So how did that feel for you? I mean, you were a new mom.
Yep.
You know, that's a precarious time in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Of feeling confident, feeling capable, feeling rested.
I was also in a pretty serious place, especially going back to work with postpartum depression, possibly uncovering like kind of a chronic low-grade depression for most of my adult life that kind of exploded onto the scene. Okay. In particular, with the breach of going back to work. I remember mm-hmm. going back to work hurt me a lot. I didn't want to mm-hmm. do it.
And do you think that was around leaving baby? Or do you think that was around returning to that particular environment? Or a combination of both?
I mean,
both,
that environment was awful. And it was trenches, mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was ever, you know, nothing we could offer was good enough. You know, like it was... It was a rough job,
mm-hmm.
even though I had colleagues I enjoyed and you know what I mean? Like we had fun sometimes and I was lucky that I got to be the fun person there. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. at least I didn't have to, whatever, but it was a lot of crisis and a lot of hardship and, you know, trenches work. And I remember, I mean, I'll never have a job like that again, ever, period.
Mm-hmm.
So it was partly that the job itself, absent of anything, going back to it after these like long, sweet afternoons with my baby. And I remember pumping being really distressing. I would watch videos of Charlie to get my boobs going and mm-hmm. pumping at work. And I would be in my boss's office. And I remember it feeling, oh God, I remember it being very depressing. I felt very isolated and didn't like it. I forgot to mention everyone's favorite part of me being pregnant at work was I was in charge of the sex packets. So clients were there for a long time and they were allowed to have sex, but they had to, I mean, allowed to have sex, you know what I mean? Like, we asked that they would undergo a sex assessment so they could be assessed for ability to consent
mm-hmm.
and to make safe choices and stuff like that. Part of mm-hmm. this is like a mental health rehabilitation, like, mm-hmm. you know. And my job was to make and pass around the safe sex packets, which had like condoms, dental dams, instructions, fact sheet, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking around with this big box of them and like this huge pregnant belly. Oh God, the joke of the department was like, oh, safe sex time. Have you considered safe sex? Yeah, it was just very, very yeah. good. I remember about going back to, because the other thing that happened is my mom and dad moved to California from Connecticut. They had just retired. They rented an apartment around the corner from ours. And they stayed with Charlie while I went back to work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which was kind of wild and amazing and generous of them, too.
And that was something that felt supportive to you?
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a really nice time. You know, I moved away. I moved to the West Coast fast after college, you know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. it was really nice to have my parents get to know me and Rich, to get to know, we lived in Oakland, California. Like, my parents moved to, like, barely gentrified hipster paradise. You know what I mean? And it's so funny. I feel really lucky that we had that time together. I don't remember anything about them telling me they were going to do that. I do remember feeling intense relief. I did not like, we looked at daycares and I was upset about daycares. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. It's not something I like. That's like a private thing, right? Because I don't want to like, people depend on daycare and I don't want to do anything to fuck with that. But I remember touring them and being like, I can't, like, I can't do this. And having my mom come meant I didn't have to. We also saved so much money. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, it just helped us out a lot. And then when they moved when Rich finished his PhD, and then we moved to Ann Arbor when Charlie was about one.
And where did your parents go then? They stayed there?
They retired. They live in North Carolina. So they bought a house in North Carolina.
Just a whole new place.
A whole new place. Well, my dad's sister lives there and other people lives there. And basically my dad was like, I'm done with snow. I'm never doing snow again.
So how did you, what kind of support did you have then in addition to your parents for that, that postpartum period and any sort of depression you would have been experiencing? I mean, it sounds like you were very aware of mental health issues, very self-aware of where you were at. I expect that you, I mean, I presume you would be pretty proactive about finding some support.
Yeah, I remember calling my doctor and they said, okay, what you're going to do is call psych emergency. And I wasn't suicidal. I was incredibly anxious. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't stop. I couldn't turn my brain off. And I was just all the time. I couldn't stop. And I remember I called a psych emergency kind of hotline, but I don't think I went to like a psych emergency room. I think what they did was made me a next day appointment with a psychiatrist. And I still had my longtime therapist. I, you know, part of therapy school is going to a therapist. We were probably together for 3 or 4 years. So I still had her. And then I started on some kind of antidepressant right then. And that helped a great deal. So did just kind of the explosion of like, I remember being like, oh my God, like this is actually not just normal. Like this is not okay. And kind of doing that and actually like, bleh, like, you know, getting it out, that, that helped a lot. And knowing that I was like taking steps helped. Yeah, it was hard times, man. Like, there was a whole baby there when a year before there, like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember my lesbian friend who had a baby at the same time and, you know, you don't have accidental babies as a lesbian. That's just not a thing that happens. And like, I cannot wrap my mind around having a baby by accident. They had all these plans for like, you know, her wife was Jewish and she was like neo-pagan. So they had this plan for the spiritual development of their child. Whereas I was flying by the seat of my pants the whole time. Right. You know what I mean?
It was right. Yeah. Did you, I know we're focused on Charlie's birth, but did you have postpartum as well with in subsequent deliveries?
I actually, to this day, I'm on that same antidepressant. And while there were definitely hormonal dips, there was never an emergency again. And I stayed on it through my pregnancies. Like, I didn't, now, I remember with Charlie going to a perinatal depression support group while I was still pregnant. I can't remember how that came about, but I did go. And I remember being like, someone had a little tiny baby. And I remember being like, can I hold your baby? And I had been just so scared that I would just bust up a newborn, that I would break it. Right? You know what I mean? It just felt too scary. And I remember holding her baby and being like, oh, it's just a baby. Like, it's just a baby. My body to do. You know what I mean? I was like, I can hold a baby. Like, I needed, like, a little, like, cognitive. I also remember looking around in that group and being like, it's possible that these women are much more depressed or impacted than I am. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think what I am is extraordinarily nervous and scared and, you know, but then that was felt different than the postpartum depression.
Sure. I mean, that's such a hard piece to tease out, especially with first babies, especially with unexpected or unplanned first babies, is there's a healthy, rational amount of anxiety about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and so I think especially these days, and obviously Charlie's, you know, not a newborn anymore, but these days, especially there is like this need to sort of name so many things that we get to like almost over naming what are really rational responses to really disruptive events in our lives.
Yes.
And disruption can be a positive thing, but it's still disruptive.
It's like, still disruptive and it still requires, you know, those shifts are not painless.
Right.
You know, and just because it's not painless doesn't mean it is pathology. Like,
right. Very good point.
That, you know, this is what we're working on with the way my kids fight is like, just because you're upset doesn't mean someone wronged you. So I don't remember. And I also remember feeling really with my subsequent babies, feeling very released from the fear. Each one, there was just so much less fear. I remember feeling more and more confident. I remember feeling, and then it's, you know, what I was thinking about after we talked, I was like, I can't believe I picked Charlie's birth. And I really, cause Anna's birth was, like magic, perfect tub. I caught her myself. Like, it was really incredible. It was peak moment of my life. And I remember feeling so the bliss of that carried through into her newborn stage. Like, I felt very like connected, present. Whereas Charlie's birth wasn't traumatic, but it was different. It was hard and it was filled with, there were negative parts of the experience, like rude doctors and this roommate and whatever. So I remember being like, oh, a good birth, you know, like something to be said for protecting birth.
Okay. So I love that you used the word romantic about Rich's support during the labor. Yeah. And I wonder if you can help me, tell me a little more about that. Because romantic is a very specific word. It's a very intimate, interpersonal word that has, it's not generalizable, right? You're like, your parents aren't romantic towards you, right? So I'm wondering if you can tell me, and if it's just what came out and that's what came out.
No, I've used that word specifically many times to talk about this. Sometimes to like first time pregnant people. And I also remember telling my doctor that like, it is something kind of defining. And, you know, part of it was that we didn't know each other very well. Like, it was the first adversity that we faced, the first like scary thing that we faced together. And I remember we had hired this student doula, and I remember thinking, well, I need to make sure someone's there who can help me because Rich, you know, he's oxys and like, is he going to be able to really hang? And I remember a couple things. I remember being really giddy with him in this period after my water broke before labor started, where I was just, we were just kind of giddy. Like, we just felt a little punch drunk and it was so exciting, you know? And we were like playing around and having fun. And then I remember when, you know, the shit was really in the fan, like he was just right there the whole time. And I remember feeling heard and seen. I remember saying, I need this. I remember specifically it was, I needed pushing on my thigh muscles. And he's like, yep, like no questions. No, we had gone to this birth class where the dad in the video kept saying, good girl, to his birthing partner. And It was so gross. And I remember being like, oh my God, if you ever, and I remember he was like, should I call you a bad girl? While you're, you know,
like, you shouldn't call me a girl while I'm having a child.
Don't call me a girl while I'm pushing out a baby. And I just remember part of me had been really scared that he was going to do something cringy, awful, that it would feel ruined, that, you know what I mean? Like, these were my concerns.
Yeah.
Or that I would feel dropped, like that I would feel on my own. And I just really didn't. And that felt, it felt romantic to me. It felt, when it was over, I remember feeling like we did this, we didn't do all of it together, but I remember being like, you were there the whole time, like the whole time. You didn't eat for as long as I didn't eat. Like, you saw, scared, like, you know, since then I've had two more babies and also two back surgeries. Mm-hmm. And for most of those, I'm on another planet. Either for the back surgeries, I was on literal like morphine and like crazy drugs. And for the babies, I'm just on another planet. And sometimes I think to myself, like, he really saw, my body. He saw the actual, like, process that was happening. I never saw the needle for the epidural, but he did. Mm-hmm. He saw it go in. Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of, like, sat in the reality while I was in, like, whatever process I was in. And that felt, sometimes I remember that and I'm like, you know, when shit got hard, he stayed there. And maybe that's a low bar for romance, but it, I remember feeling like, who needs a wedding? Like, that's romantic, like being in it together like that. This is good for me to talk about because we just had a little fight about something. And I'm like, oh, my good buddy. Like, and I remember it also being pretty sweet because when Anna was born, I remember Rich went right to the same thing. I remember he tried to push on my thighs. And I was like,
different birth, like, different kid.
I'm glad you remember, but that's not what's happening this time. You know what I mean? Like, remember that. I remember when Charlie was born on the whiteboard, it said there was a place on the whiteboard that said mom and dad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, my mom is Lena Britt. I remember being like, they need my parents' information. That's so weird. But okay. And then I was like, oh, it's me. Like, I'm the mom. I remember being like, wow, that's intense. Yeah, no, Rich was a pretty rad birth partner. In fact, we didn't, with my other two babies, we were working with the midwives, which maybe if we had been working with a more classic OB, we would have had a doula, but we actually didn't hire another doula. I felt like she was great. And I remember her being there. She was a picture of like being present. I remember that she was really holding a lot of the like awe, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She was holding a lot of the like stillness. And so I remember being super grateful for that. Charlie's birth in particular was so medicalized. Like, there was so much monitoring and like I wasn't allowed to get up. I had this epidural. Like, it was just the most medical of births. And I felt like having a doula there, it made room. And she later told me that she felt guilt about not trying to change my mind more about the epidural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I probably opened this process by being like, what surprised you? Is there anything you think about still? You know, again, therapy school, recent graduate. And I remember being like, oh, I absolve you of that. Like, I was suffering. Like, the epidural, like the way that birth went, I couldn't have done it anymore. Like, I couldn't have. And mm-hmm. when Anna was born without an epidural, I remember being like, that was so fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment of like, did I want that with Charlie? And I was like, no, it was already not there with Charlie. Like, mm-hmm. Charlie's wouldn't have been that way. Cause I was so like bedraggled, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember being like, I remember thinking she was a student. We were finishing out her certification or something like that. We were mm-hmm. part of her student clients. And I remember being like, I remember telling her, nope, I don't regret any of my choices. And I don't regret. I do remember one part she said, I said something like, okay, guys, tell me the reasons not to get an epidural. Like, tell me to Rich mm-hmm. and this doula. And she said something like, well, it is safer for the baby or something like that. And I remember being like, oh, I don't care about the baby. And she was a little bit like you could tell that was not something she expected me to say. And I was a little bit like, Lisa, that wasn't like, that wasn't nice, but I didn't, you know what I mean? I needed to like,
no, birth is full of honest moments. Like that is an honest moment.
Yes. And it was true. It was hard to care about anything other than, you know, pain is panicky. Like it was.
Of course. Yeah. Our bodies are designed for that.
Yes. That's on purpose. Yes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The last thing that I was hoping we could just revisit a little is you mentioned in the first interview that you think it took till your third birth to really be an advocate for yourself. And I'm wondering if we can think a little about like why that happened or like what. Like, were there things that happened that pushed you that way? Were there things that you just got more comfortable with? Or also, like, what did it change once you became that advocate? You know, like, how did it change the experience for you?
So I think part of it is that I just, you know, my data set grew and I learned more what I needed. Like, I remember with Anna, I remember being really, with Charlie, they were doing these cervical checks all the time. And it was always disappointing because I was never as far as long as I wanted to be. It was like such a blow each time.
Mm-hmm.
And with Anna, I was like, no cervical checks unless there's an emergency. Like, mm-hmm. period, the end. And then with Anna, of course, I had no idea a baby was about to come out until I was literally pushing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, so what I actually want is limited. You know what I mean?
Overcorrection.
Literally. Like, I want to be able to request a cervical check. I want a doctor to be able to say, I'd like to do a cervical check because I think you might be about to transition or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right. Give you some context for it.
Yeah. It, not just the every hour on the hour, what's going on up there kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I also felt like a first-time mom, I felt like the people around me had a very – and this was also – you know, this was that doctor who was like, well, you're never going to start labor that way. Like, I felt like everyone was like, well, look at you, you little young thing. Like, I felt there was a very paternalistic, these poor women just don't know how to do this without our help kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. It was just a very old-fashioned model.
Mm-hmm.
Of a hospital. With moving to the midwives and just like a different model of care, I remember being like, you know, I get very annoyed by the whole, why make a birth plan? Like, you can't control what's going to happen. And it's like, I can state my preferences and I can ask people not to, you know, I didn't want to be offered an epidural. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I actually mm-hmm. asked them to refuse me one, but they're like, we can't do that. I was like,
no, they can't do that.
but it just felt like I learned more each time. And like with Anna, I remember learning that it was important to me that telling me the pain was almost over could help me make it through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the cervical checks, getting a, you're at 9 centimeters was like, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with George, I remember being like, Rich knew to say, it's almost over. It's mm-hmm. so close. You're almost done. Even if it mm-hmm. wasn't true, it turned out to be true. But like, that was the message I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. Not, you can do this or breathe through it or whatever. It needs to be, it's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
It'll end, you know? And I learned that was, I knew that for George. If I was going to have a fourth baby, I would know a couple other things. One, that I can't not ask for an epidural when I'm in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I also know that recovering from an epidural was pretty brutal, was the hardest part. I had such an easier recovery with George and Anna. And I also, the thrill of, I found it very thrilling to feel everything. And I would want, if I was going to have another baby, which I'm not, I would want that again. And I would not want to accidentally request an epidural and get it and miss it. So I think the next birth would be at home. Mm-hmm. I think there would be a tub somewhere. Like, I think it would be that, or some kind of whatever, Amish birthing center. I don't know. Like, I would want to go someplace where, do I have proximity to emergency care? Yes. But there is not a pager connected to an epidural. So it's just kind of like learning more about it each time. And also there's a certain, with each baby, I don't know if this is true or not about labor and delivery nurses, but I felt like as a second time mom and certainly as a third time mom, I had some cred.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that I knew what I was talking about. If I said, don't wash the baby, I didn't get any like, well, you know, he's going to be really sticky. No, with Anna, I remember they left her naked on me. She was pooping all over me. And I was like, I'm good. And they were like, she's good. Like, they didn't try to talk me out of anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that was a cultural thing between midwife care and OB care, or if it was Michigan. It doesn't seem right that California would be less progressive on that, but it felt like there was a certain, it's not her first rodeo. I also felt a little more educated. And also, I mean, my second baby was planned from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. I had time to consider and think and, you know.
And I think, too, sometimes what happens in that circumstance is, like, you know, when babies or pregnancies are planned, you're kind of like, there's a sense of being in charge of it. I mean, you're definitely not, but there's a sense of it, right? When
yeah.
you have an unexpected pregnancy, it's like you're always catching up to something your body like went on and did without you. And now
yeah.
you're like catching up to it. And I think that that can overflow into birth as well, of like almost putting yourself in the backseat to your body, your own body.
That's
like,
how, well, and like, it was also the way I woke up to my water breaking. And I didn't understand that that meant the baby was going to come out. Like, mm-hmm. I truly felt like I was playing catch up the whole time. And Anna's water didn't break until I was fully in labor. And it was like a slow, it's a good story if you need more stories. This Charlie birth was chaotic the whole time.
And I think that's what interested me about you mentioning that you became more of an advocate, because there's this piece of becoming more comfortable yourself. Feeling more knowledgeable yourself, feeling more capable yourself. And then there's this piece of like, how does that self interact in the birth setting, right?
Yeah.
How much of my comfort can I just feel inside, and how much of it do I need to display or perform?
Yeah.
In a way that makes other people, like you say, take me more seriously or give me more information or
yeah.
present me with more options.
Or let me do what I, like George was born, and he had a little trouble breathing, right? He went to the nest, not the NICU, but the nest.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I got down there, because they always think I'm hemorrhaging, and I'm always not. That's another thing. You just learn, you know what I mean? They're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I think we might have to do whatever the medicine that goes up your ass. I don't remember what it is. But I was like, just give me 10 minutes, okay? Like, it'll stop. It all comes out, and then it stops. Like, just give me a second, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay. And it was fine. And then when I got down to George, they're like, oh, you should feed him. Let me get you a consultant and a pillow. And by the time she's done talking, mm-hmm. we're latched. Cause,
mm-hmm.
And also then his breathing, you know, he regulated
mm-hmm.
right then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame anybody, but I'm kind of like, maybe they should have tried that first in the room before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I remember the difference between being a first-time breastfeeder and like, an old freaking pro. Like, I remember being like, I got this, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I knew little things. I knew what to have in my bag. I knew what I would want after, you know? I knew everyone always tried to give me like, you know, custom made like gowns, you know, people sell on Etsy, like delivery gowns or whatever. And I was like, nope, I be nakes. Like, I'm not interested in that. Like, just knowing a little bit more and just honestly knowing what was going to happen.
So tell me how much you knew about birth for your first birth. I mean, how much did you know about the stages of labor or what to look for or what the process that was going to happen?
So, like, we took a class and we had the Our Bodies, Ourselves, Pregnancy and Childbirth, which I still probably have somewhere. We had stuff like that. I don't think, though, that it's not like I could tell you right now what the stages of labor are. Yeah, I mean, from books, but I had never seen a birth. My mother never really talked about childbirth.
No, she never talked about your birth?
Nope. No. Well, she would say a couple things like, both her and my mother-in-law were like, you need the drugs. Like, the drugs make it possible for you to enjoy the birth. And I know they both had a lot of, like, panic about pain. And my mother-in-law was like, none of that stuff works. Like, Lamaze doesn't work. None of it works. You need the drugs. But that was stuff they were telling me while I was pregnant. I don't think that as a young adult or as a child, I ever saw any depiction of birth that wasn't like in a movie, like water breaking, rush to the hospital, father of the bride type stuff. Like Knocked Up is probably like the most, I just didn't have any, I was the first of my friends to have a baby, the first in my family generation to have a baby. And birthing was also like private in my family. Like it wasn't something that was like conversational, I guess. So no, I don't feel like there were things I didn't know. I must have known it. I knew that I was going to deliver a placenta. I did not know that it would feel like a little mini birth. I knew that I knew it would hurt. I didn't know how it would hurt. Like, there's just some stuff you can't know about it without doing it. So I guess that's kind of the knowledge I feel like I gained. There was a lot of silly stuff with Charlie. Like, we wrote down every poop, every feed. We wrote them down for months and months. I remember going to his pediatrician appointment with our, like, notebook. And the pediatrician was like, what's this? Yeah, exactly. We had, like, you know, we didn't want to use wipes, so I had made little flannel cloths, and we had a warm pump pot of warm water, and like everything was to the nines, which is very cute and sweet. You know what I mean? But like, since then, you know,
you've used a few baby wipes.
Oh yeah, I still use baby wipes for dusting inside my car, and but I remember this kind of, it was an anxious thing though. Like that's what it was I'm going to hurt this baby and I need to monitor him. We bought a scale. We weighed him all the time. Like, you know, Rich is into data. So we had a lot of data. We had a lot of data. I think that even in this, like, of my births, the most medical and the most uncomfortable and the most scary, that there's still so much, like, love and awe and, like, just wonder. And that's what I remember about each birth most, is how amazing it is that this is how we do it, that this is how life starts, and that like this is how people come out. I had a professor in grad school who would refer to us all as professional ex-babies, like we're all just professional ex-babies. This is how we all, like, this is where it all comes
from. And, I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. And I like looking at my sullen teenager and being like, I don't know. You're looking like a professional ex-baby to me, you know? I'll also say that it feels lovely to have an opportunity to, like, talk about. I will always, like, whenever someone has a baby, back when, like, my friends were having babies all the time, which has tapered off a little bit, like, I love sitting and hearing the story. I love telling my story. I love the, like, well, first this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. Like, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for the opportunity to do that. And also for this opportunity that, like, yes, these are stories that should be told. I remember bringing Charlie back to our apartment, and we had these two landlords. They saw me be pregnant, and then I remember walking into the elevator with a baby in a carrier, and the look on his face, he was like, and I remember being like, yep, it came out. And I remember,
like, what did you think was going to happen here?
It's going to happen. I said, it's your new tenant, you know? And he was like. So, yeah, I it feels like the more birth stories that go out there, the more people can kind of be like, oh, yes, birth.
Yes.
How fucking cool.